Hi everyone, hope you're all well. I'd like to welcome you today to our 2022 half-year results. We're really glad you could join us today. Just to introduce ourselves, our presenters for today will be Becky Worthington, our CFO, Andy King, our Director of Investment, and myself, Courtney Huggins, Director of Group Treasury. Just a little bit of admin before we start today's presentation. The call will be recorded and we will upload this to our debt investor site for future reference. Also, all participants will be muted upon entry and throughout the call. So should you have any questions, please hover over the three dots at the bottom right hand of your WebEx app and select Q&A. This will bring up a chat box, which you can type your questions into. These questions will come directly to us and will not be seen by other participants. We'll then consolidate these questions throughout the call and we'll reserve time for Q&A at the end of the presentation. Please note that you'll have to be using the WebEx app to ask these questions via the Q&A facility, as this will not work from a dial-in. At this point, I'd like to hand over to Becky, who will kick us off this morning.
Thanks, Courtney, and good morning, everybody. Great to be here with you today talking about our results at Canary Wharf Group. So the first half of 22 has been a broadly stable period, but with some important upsides. From a financial point of view, at £140 million for the 6 months period, our net income was a touch up on the same period last year. And later on, we'll talk about new lettings, which means this number continues to strengthen. With some growth in ERVs, the portfolio valuation rose nearly £100 million, which together with the increased cash on our balance sheet resulted in an LTV falling by 180 basis points to 47.8% when we include our JV debt. Beyond that, you'll be hearing shortly from my colleagues about our sector leading activities in sustainability, including becoming Eden's London base, also the transformation that's underway in the spaces between the buildings, such as the open water swimming in the docks that some of you may have seen, and our success of our newly launched Made4 concept, which will fit out and manage space to any business's specifications. So looking a little bit more at the progress in the period, our cash collection has remained strong across the majority of the portfolio, with office and residential collections at a 99% rate. Retail rent collections rose to 92% by Q2 22. And with a combination of renewals and new lettings, we let 179,000 square feet to a really interesting mix of new occupiers from traditional retail, restaurants, bars, leisure. So the latter included, for example, our opening of 7 new paddle tennis courts. That's due to open in January this year. And Fair Game, one I'm looking forward to going to visit, which is a street food concept and a new take on an old funfair games, all hooked up to technology, and that's actually opening this September. So that's just a quick intro, and I'm going to hand over to Andy now to talk a bit more about the market backdrop.
All right, so I think it's key to point out that there's still a strong set of fundamentals behind our office portfolio, which includes long WALTs, strong tenant covenants, and also the great quality buildings that we have here at Canary Wharf. And that we see as putting us in good stead to withstand the shifting market that we're going to see over the next 12 to 18 months and the new normal. If we look back over the first 6 months, the office market across London has been strong, with a strong take up, the strongest since 2018, and that's also been seen in Canary Wharf with the total amount of new lettings as well as under offers being well ahead of the 10-year average. The development pipeline is still restricted across the across London, which sees a good chance of future rental growth, which is predicted by CBRE in the chart in the top left. Moving on to PRS. PRS is still a relatively immature market within the UK. 20% of the overall housing stock within the UK is PRS. of which only 1.4% is currently institutional build-to-rent stock. If you compare that to where the US is, the US is around about 12%, so there's still considerable room for growth within the UK and within London in particular. Where we're going to see challenge in the market is obviously in the cost of living crisis that we're seeing, with affordability being stretched, both within the rental sector, but also, and more key, within the ownership structure. If we move to the next page, where we're looking at the affordability for looking at the affordability for first-time buyers. First-time buyers within London, mortgage payments were previously looking to be around about mid-40s, and that has climbed to the high 40s, and that's with it before we've seen the full impact of the increase in interest rates. Estates Gazette issued a report a couple of weeks back stating that they would see the rising interest costs, meaning that first-time buyers need to save an additional £35,000 within London before they can get onto the housing ladder, meaning that the rental market is going to continue to be strong within London, which is seen within all the rental growth forecasts. That's underpinned by a continued structural undersupply of housing within the UK. The graph in the top left shows the new build completions compared to the government target. And that also compares to an estimated 210,000 per year creation of new households within the UK from shifting demographics as well as net migration. All that is looking to underpin rental growth forecasts over the next few years. 2022, the Bank of England and Knight Frank's forecasts growth around about in the high single digits, and that is what we're seeing across the current Vertus portfolio in the renewals that we've seen to date. I'll hand over now to Becky to look at the operating performance in a greater degree of detail.
Thanks, Andy. So turning to the financial review slide to start with, the portfolio benefited from £100 million uplift in valuations, and this meant the fair value of the portfolio is now up to £8.7 billion. Together with higher cash balances of £371 million at the half year, our loan-to-value ratio reduced to 47.8%. The valuation uplift, together with the gain on the mark-to-market of our interest rate derivatives, resulted in net assets growing by £325 million to £4.3 billion. Residential rental income increased in the period as properties let up, and this supported the £5 million increase in underlying operating profit to £121 million. Newfoundland is still in the letting up phase. You may have seen the numbers. It was 64% let by the half year date. And so we should see more to come in terms of this trend of growing underlying earnings. Looking at our track record, after some pressure from COVID in the first half of 2021, we've seen a stabilisation and some recovery on our income numbers, with EBITDA actually ahead on both years at £120 million. We've seen a small downward tick in our office lettings, now at 93% let, but with a pickup that Andy mentioned earlier in demand as occupiers start to crystallise decisions on occupation, which means that our pipeline is now stronger than it's been for a number of years. With our weighted average lease length of 11.2 years in our office portfolio, this represents an attractive, secure proposition with predominantly investment grade tenants. And we saw that coming through in the valuer's review of our half year results and the increase we saw. Whilst office still makes up the majority of our portfolio with its relatively long leases and investment grade covenants, as we continue to develop Canary Wharf as an exciting place to be, the diversification has continued with a growing number of homes available for rent, both high end and affordable. So a real mix of properties that we've introduced to the estate and opened up. We're also bringing in new interesting occupiers across retail and offices, with increasing demand we're seeing at the moment from sectors such as healthcare, education and life sciences. And we've got an ever-increasing leisure, restaurant and bar offer as we sign up exciting new businesses to the wharf and increase the choice available. So just a handful of examples, we recently opened up M Restaurants and Macanto Metropolitano, and Dishoom will be opening soon. And then last night I enjoyed staying at our latest place to open on the wharf, the Tribe Hotel, which is part of the Ennismore Group. They opened their doors on the 1st of August. So great to have that new hotel facility here. And the success of our retail has really is showing through now. We have an even higher occupancy. It's over 97%. Plus, we've got a really strong pipeline in progress. And on that point, I'll hand over to Courtney now to talk about our capital structure.
Thanks, Becky. So the first half of 2022 saw four financing work streams complete. The first being a new £49 million development facility for 8 Harvard Square, our Manhattan-style loft apartment building development, which happened in April. This facility matures in July 2025. In the spring, we also refinanced 8 Water Street, a 50% PRS joint venture, with a new 5-year, £82 million secured investment loan, replacing £51 million of development debt, which matured in May. In May, we also restructured our HCA infrastructure loan to reduce the facility commitment from £200 million down to £182 million, and extended the repayment date for approximately 5 years, from September 2023 to March 2028. Lastly, in June, we closed off our affordable and intermediate housing facility, a £59 million secured investment facility, which matures in 2027. In addition to these new facilities, the group had robust liquidity at half year, comprising total cash of over £370 million and the full £30 million of headroom under our revolving credit facility. At half year, as Becky mentioned, increases in cash and our portfolio value supported a reduction in look-through LTV to 47.8%, down from 49.5% at year-end 21. The other debt portfolio metrics remained stable in the period, with secured debt comprising 81% of the total portfolio, our weighted average maturity still at 6.6 years, and a weighted average cost of debt at 4.4%. 80% of our debt is either fixed or capped to mitigate interest expense. At the half year, we were also in compliance with all of our bond covenants. I'm going to pass over back to Andy to talk a bit more about development now.
In terms of development, we completed one building within the half year, which was 20 Water Street, 220,000 square foot office building. And still under construction, we have 15 Water Street, which is very shortly due to complete, which contains the Tribe Hotel, which Becky stayed in last night. Following on from that, we've got 8 Harvard Square, which Courtney mentioned, which is our Manhattan loft style building containing 86 units. And in following on from that, we've also got a number of serviced apartment buildings at 10 Brannan Street, 1 Charter Street, which is a JV with Eden, and 45 Charter Street, all on the Wood Wharf development. Looking forward, you'll have seen in the press the announcement of an agreement to develop a life sciences building on North Quay through a joint venture with Cadans, Europe's preeminent life science operator. And we're also moving ahead with Wood Wharf Phase 3, which is to deliver 1,600 residential units, about 1,300 private, 300 affordable, also on Wood Wharf. That will be delivered through a joint venture with our shareholders, Brookfield and QIA. I'll hand back to Becky. Courtney on sustainability.
Like, you've got me for sustainability, guys. Great. Thanks so much, Andy. So sustainability has always been central to what we do here at Canary Wharf Group and our strategy. We can evidence our efforts historically, as you can see from the main sustainability metrics on this slide. But we are also focusing on how to move the sustainability agenda forwards and ensure that it is done at pace and in a way where our business is supported and accelerated by it. Our sustainability strategy has three key focus areas. Each is backed up with specific targets and metrics, which we use to measure and accelerate our group progress. The first focus area is circular economy. We aim to create a circular economy where we reuse materials and reduce and eliminate waste. We have tested ways to achieve this and are continually working to sustainability certifications. In fact, we have delivered over 20 million square feet of space certified as sustainable. And knowing that we need to continue to drive best-in-class sustainability practice, we have worked to ensure our buildings can deliver the highest ratings. As a result, we have three buildings which are on track to receive the prestigious BREEAM Outstanding rating. It's really important to note that less than 1% of buildings reach this level. Our second focus area is greening the estate. We know that nature represents an asset of about 1.2 trillion pounds for the UK economy, and yet analysis has shown that just half of the UK's biodiversity is remaining. So to tackle this, we aim to create an environment where nature thrives with people. In the first half of this year, as Becky mentioned earlier, we announced a unique and pioneering partnership with the Eden Project to support this. They are a charity and a social enterprise whose mission it is to connect people with nature, which aligns perfectly with our own biodiversity strategy. Our third focus area is reaching net zero carbon. Our ambition is to reach net zero by 2030, and we have made significant progress to deliver this. With our ambition to be leaders in the sustainability space, for the past 10 years, all the electricity we purchase has been from renewable sources. To further challenge this agenda, we are in discussions to collaborate on the creation of further renewable energy resources for the estate and our tenants. Taking our sustainability strategy one step further, we are now excited to share that we are creating a sustainability-linked finance framework, which integrates our company-wide sustainability targets into financing opportunities. With our market-leading sustainability targets, we are pushing the parameters of what can be delivered within our industry. We have aligned our framework KPIs to our science-based sustainability targets, which were approved by Science-Based Targets Initiative, SBTI, back in 2020. The target has two parts. The first being reducing our scope 1, 2, and 3 emissions from downstream leased assets by 65% by 2030. And the second target, 60% of suppliers by emissions covered purchasing goods and services will have science-based targets by 2025. To deliver the first element, we are acting on our direct emissions and working with our tenants who constitute our downstream leased assets to support the switch to renewable electricity tariffs. For the second KPI, we have a strategic approach to work with our supply chain to support them to set their own science-based targets and therefore reduce their emissions. This includes providing our supply chain with specialist support, setting up working groups, and having step-down package-specific targets alongside digital and live dashboards to report our progress. Further news on our sustainability efforts will be published in our annual sustainability report later this year.
Great.
So that concludes our presentation for today. As mentioned before we started, we would like to have a Q&A session. We've had some people send through a few questions. The first question being on the sale of our 20 Cabot Square building, saying that we've highlighted that we might need to repay the associated securitized debt and expect net proceeds of approximately £175 million. How much prepayment are we expecting on the CMBS, and which tranches do we expect to prepay?
Thanks, Courtney. So for those eagle-eyed in the accounts, they may have seen that we transferred an asset of circa £470 million into for sale. And if we do end up selling 20 Cabot Square, if the transaction goes through, then we will be obliged to repay part of the securitization. We will repay the A1 notes and then a proportion of the B notes. And the amount, the principal repayment attached to 20 Cabot Square is just under £240 million prior to break costs.
And I think it's important to note that due to the amplifier effect of the notes, the rating of the securitization will be maintained. So the risk will not be increased by any means. So we just want to ask one more time if anyone else has any other questions. And we'll just wait a moment to see if any come through before finishing the call for today. Great. Well, as we haven't gotten through any more questions, we just wanted to say thank you for joining us again today. This call was recorded and will be put up on the investor website. And any further questions, you know, please feel free to email me directly and we'll ensure we get those answered for you. Thank you again, and we hope to speak to everyone soon.